David Irvin's been in the media this week. Not much, but normally the head of ASIO is virtually invisible. He's about to finish in the job, which explains it. And this rarest of appearances prompted a tweet from Bernard Keane of Crikey. Instead of aggressively interrogating their claims as they do regular bureaucrats, journalists show a weird reverence to security officials, he said. So why does he think that?
What we tend to get in a lot of cases, I think, is what Glenn Greenwald calls stenography journalism, where the claims of intelligence officials and national security officials are conveyed verbatim and without attempts to provide context, attempts to provide history, which might reveal contradictions from previous positions or flaws in arguments, and without any sort of critical analysis. And Australia has a relatively small media sector. Our national newspapers, we only have two national newspapers. We only have, a few more significant papers. The number of journalists who can actually apply themselves to what is an incredibly important field of national security journalism is very small. And there is, I think one of the other problems is there's no depth to the sort of journalism that we're seeing. Of course, that's a problem not just in national security intelligence journalism. Mm. That's a problem right across the industry.
But Bernard, there's some good journalists who cover this area. Surely some are better than others.
Well, take someone like Brendan Nicholson, for example, who works for The Australian on defence and national security issues. Excellent journalist, excellent contacts within the military establishment, produces very high quality journalism. But he's somewhat atypical. Dylan Welsh, who for a long time wrote for Fairfax, then went to Afghanistan for a while, and I think has since returned, was also very good on national security affairs. But unfortunately, they're atypical in the sense of both a grounding in the area and a willingness and capacity to actually engage critically with the issues that are being raised, because this is an area where you need both specialist knowledge and you need a willingness to actually interrogate what we are being told by security officials, because that particular sector of government gets very little scrutiny. This is a broader problem, not just about journalism, but about parliamentary scrutiny as well. Mm. Intelligence agencies and national security agencies get much less parliamentary scrutiny than other sections of the public service. And that, if anything, should put more pressure on journalists to actively apply scrutiny to these agencies, and somehow it doesn't.
Well, I'll come back to that because it might point to a wider cultural issue. But let's work through the journalism end of it, because surely, by its nature, this information, it's at the extreme end of the difficult-to-get scale, which means that if you're not getting it from the person you're interrogating, there's often no alternative source.
There are two dimensions to this issue. One is that, this is a sector where we are asked to take on trust the claims of intelligence officials. Now, that is a spectrum. That's not a single point. In the United States, for example, I think there is a much healthier approach both to the public scrutiny that I talked about, but also the journalistic scrutiny of the claims of intelligence officials. But I think in Australia, journalists are much more reluctant to push the envelope when it comes to the very great unwillingness of national security agencies to provide additional information.
Do you think the journalists are captured, and this happens in every field, where you are given information off the record, strictly off the record, and that makes it then quite difficult to use that information if your source won't then go on the record?
Well, there is, and the capture also extends to the fact that if you breach confidence or are perceived to have in any way broken the rules, then you can be punished by not being given further information. And this isn't just confined to the Australian media. I mean, this is a problem with the Western media in general. I mean, look no further than the extraordinary sight of the New York Times, one of the world's great sort of media organs, taking the WikiLeaks cables to the State Department and basically getting the State Department to tick off on what they could report within certain parameters, rather than making their own judgment about what was in the public interest in terms of publication. So the concept of capture, it really revolves around the form of exchange journalism that goes on between officials and journalists.
Yes, and Judy Miller got led down the garden path, of course, in the lead up to the Iraq War. Could it be, though, that there's another interest? In that, if there's a national security story, especially a scary one, that makes, well, it makes for compelling copy, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and we're seeing that right at the moment with the even absolutely trivial stories about Islamic State flags, for example, let alone arrests for, we don't know, but likely for providing support or planning to send people to Syria, are beaten up into stories that more or less imply that Australians were being beheaded in the streets. I mean,
not quite.
Well, I mean, the dimension of this is a clear and present threat to Australians is very strong in both these stories and what we're hearing from the government. And that's a key element to the government's arguments about the need to return to Iraq. And it was fascinating to see at least one News Corporation journalist, Cameron Stewart, talking about the impact of front page headlines about jihadis on bringing Australians round to the idea of supporting intervention in Iraq. So this sense of clear and present threat, I think, is an important component in changing the way people view national security issues, as well as, you're absolutely right, as well as being
a great
copy.
Mm. Bernd, you mentioned context earlier. What about the context around this? Is this different after September 11 or even the Bali bombing, or have we always been a bit like this?
I think in Australia we've always been somewhat obsequious toward national security officials. I mean, the thing to bear in mind about these officials is they are bureaucrats. In many cases, they are bureaucrats who have worked in other areas of the public service. I mean, there isn't a special breed of intelligence bureaucrat. There are oftentimes you'll find they've worked in areas in foreign affairs and in attorney generals. These are public servants, and yet they are not held to the same sort of standards of scrutiny as other public servants. And I think that's long been the case.
So is it part of something wider, part of our culture, that although we like to have this image of ourselves as, you know, challenging authority and larrikins, but actually mention national security and we get all serious and obedient?
Well, I think we follow on from the Brits in that regard. I mean, I think despite, you know, a lot of the issues around the reporting, for example, of the Snowden revelations in the US, that the US has a much healthier culture, both in the press and at a congressional level, about debating security issues and intelligence issues. I mean, it's much more open there.
But I suppose from the reporting point of view, if this is cultural, if this is embedded in part of being part of the Anglosphere in Australia, then it's not something that can easily be fixed by a couple of reporters deciding to go a bit harder.
No, it needs to be driven by politicians. For example, one of the problems that we've got in discussing, let's take, for example, the issue of the ASIS whistleblower and Bernard Collaery, who were raided by ASIO late last year. The problem with the media getting to grips with that story is that George Brandis, the Attorney General, can at any stage simply throw up the shutters and say, this is an operational issue, I'm not discussing this. He will get away with that in a way that a similar blank refusal to engage on the issues would not be tolerated by the media elsewhere, or if not tolerated, then it certainly would draw very strong comment. And yet, because there's this tradition of accepting politicians who say, look, I'm not going to talk further about this, this is a security matter, you know, it's very difficult to actually have a debate about these sorts of issues. That's why, you know, quite significant revelations from Edward Snowden about the actions of Australian intelligence agencies, like Australian Signals Directorate, like ASIS, really have not sparked anything like the debate that we've seen, certainly in the US and also, for that matter, in the UK, in the Australian public space about what the remit of our intelligence agencies should be, what sort of mass surveillance that they should be engaged in.
Bernard Keane from Crikey. This is The Media Report. You're on RN. I'm Richard Adie.